See, last week we started a series, a mini series of cases where you don't have to return something you find, although you cannot keep it. And the case we discussed was someone who is a dignified person and he finds a coat in the mud that a skunk ran, or someone added to the case that a skunk ran over it, and it would be inappropriate for his stature to pick up such an object. So we learned that's called Zokim Ve'eno Di Chavodo, and in a case like that, the person is exempt from the Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. I mean, of course, he's not allowed to keep it, because we're saying he wouldn't take his own object out, which we said was the test case. If he wouldn't take it for himself, so then it's something that he should not, he's exempt from taking it for someone else if he wouldn't want to be seen carrying his own skunk smelling coat or gloves around. Right, so that was last week's case. This week we're going to move to a completely different case, but it's based on the same brayse that we learned last week. And the case is, what happens if you find something on Shabbos that's muktzah? What do? You find, you're walking down the street, and once again we'll talk about that it's not one of the five exemptions that you're allowed to keep it. Let's say you're walking down a Jewish street, and it's been here not for long, there's no dust covered with it, it just was fell the last few days, and it has a siman on it, so it's something that you should, you have a mitzvah to say of Hashavas Aveda. On the other hand, it's muktzah, right? You know, what are you supposed to do with this wallet that you find on Shabbos? And that's tonight. Okay, so the first thing we have to do is go back to that braisa that we learned last week. Remember, the braisa said, I don't have the whole braisa reprinted here. The braisa said, v'salamta. Right, the pasuk says v'salamta. In the middle of the pasuk says, don't see your friend's sheep straying, v'salamta, and you hide yourself from it. Rather, you should return it. So, since the Torah puts the word v'salamta, it says that it does say the word v'salamta, which literally means you can, you may hide yourself from it. So, the braisa says there are times that you may hide yourself from returning a lost article. There are times that you can refrain from returning a lost article. And the braisa said three cases. The case we spoke about last week was, it was Zokin Shein Elefi Chavada, which we said was what the pasuk really needs. That's a case where a person who would be beneath his dignity to return such an object, and under such a circumstance, in such a place, so then he is exempt from the Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. We did say the first case, though, the braisa mentions, was a Kohen who's in a Beis HaGvaras. Let's say the braisa inside, sometimes you can hide yourself from returning it, and sometimes you may not hide. HaKesed, when is it that you're allowed to refrain from returning a lost object? HaYakohen, if you're a Kohen, v'hi b'Beis HaGvaras, and the lost object was in a cemetery. Right, that's what the braisa says. Then the braisa goes on to say the second case, Zakin Shein Elefi Chavodo, which we spoke about last week, and then the third case, that it would cost you more money to return it than the object is worth, and I think we'll speak about that case next week. But the Gemara asks, why do you need a pasuk? Why do you need a pasuk to teach us that a Kohen cannot walk into a cemetery to return a lost article? Lama yisrach ko, why do you need the pasuk? Right, the Braisa had said these three cases. So the Gemara asks, which one of the three do you need the pasuk for? So Gemara says, Ilay mele Kohen v'hiv v'veis agvaros. If you say you need it for the case of a Kohen who is in a cemetery and he sees an object in a cemetery that he should not, that he doesn't have to return it. In fact, the Gemara Pshita said it's obvious that he's not allowed to go inside the cemetery to return that object. You don't need a pasuk of Isalamta to teach us that a Kohen may not go into a cemetery to return an object. Why? Because Hayaseh, the mitzvah to return a lost object is a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment to return objects to anyone that lost it. Hashav teshivim, return the object to someone who lost it. The Rishonim asked, there's also lo suchon hisalim, there's a lot, but the Gemara focuses on the aseh. There's only a mitzvah saseh to return an object. V'hai lo saseh v'aseh, but a Kohen to violate his kuhuna and walk into a cemetery, he, by doing that, transgresses a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh of kadoshim to you. He has the mitzvah to remain kadosh, and he also has mitzvah lo sasi, a negative commandment, lo yitama. He's not allowed to become tameh. So for a kohen to walk into a cemetery would violate two, an asay, a positive mitzvah, and a lo sasi, a negative mitzvah. And we have a rule, lo sasi asay, v'dachyas lo sasi v'asay. We know that just a simple mitzvah asay, return a lost object, that can't override prohibition, which includes both a positive factor and a negative factor. To become tamei, he would violate the mitzvah asay of kadoshim tiyu. He would not be holy like he's supposed to be, and he would also violate a simple negative lo yitama, do not become tamei. So you can't tell me that you need the pasuk to tell us that the kohen doesn't have to go to the cemetery to return an aveda. It's pashut that he wouldn't be allowed to return the aveda even if he wanted to. V'su, furthermore, l'dachinan yisura mikami mamona. We never push aside iser, something that's iser v'heter, something that's bein adam l'makom, because of a mammon consideration, because of something that's a monetary halacha. So here it's a monetary, this person is going to lose his money. So we don't try to save someone's money at the expense of violating an iser, violating a mitzvah in the Torah, which applies to Hashem. So the Gemara says these two reasons why we should not need a pasuk, and why we do not need a pasuk of his salamta, to tell us that a kohen does not go into a cemetery to retrieve a lost object, because you don't need a special exemption. We know that a kohen, to return the object, would just be a mitzvah saseh, and that's not going to override the lo saseh and the aseh, the negative and positive prohibition against a kohen becoming tamei. That's what the Gemara says over there. Now, Rosh Hashanah have a very interesting question. And by the way, this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reishayin Beis. Hoya Kohen Vavahema Rovetzes Bein Akvaros. He's a Kohen and the animal is laying down among the graves. Einem Etamila, he should not become Tamei to it. Right. Now, the Rosh Hashanah asks a Kasha that it doesn't seem to make sense over here. The Gemara is talking about whether the Aseh, the positive commandment, will override, of returning an object, will override the prohibition of a Kohen becoming Tamei. Right? But the Rosh Hashanah asks, we're not even talking about that. When, as soon as the Kohen walks, he walks into the cemetery to take the animal out, to take the wallet, whatever he found out there, something about the simon, he walks in there to take out that object. At that point in time, l'chora, he has not fulfilled any mitzvah of returning the object to the owner. He's going to have to put up signs and make announcements, and whoever lost their cow should come to me, I found it. But it's going to be maybe a few weeks before he actually returns the object. So why would we think, why does the Gemara have to say, well, since this is only a positive, the returning an aveda is only a positive mitzvah, and violating his kuhuna by becoming tamei is a negative and a positive, right? So you can't have his positive commandment of returning a lost object override his prohibition of becoming tamei. Why do you have to even get involved with that? He's not even doing a mitzvah saseh. He's walking into the cemetery, and at that point, even when he's holding the animal, he hasn't done any mitzvah yet. You shouldn't even have to come, even if the issur of a kohen becoming tamei was only aseh, and an aseh will be docha another aseh. So, you shouldn't in this case, because he's not doing any mitzvah aseh.
That's the only way he can do it. You know, in order to do it.
Right, so that's a very important machlok shonim over here. Right, so the Ran, and then Muki Yosef brings the Ran based on this question. He says that it must be. Let's think about another case of Seidor Chalos Asay. Right, the Gemara says that if a baby who needs to have a bris milah has saras on his arla that has to be removed, so there is a mitzvah saseh to take off the arla on the eighth day. There's a mitzvah lo saseh not to take off the tzaras, not to take off a sign of tzaras, that if any part of a body is afflicted with that disease, you're not allowed to take that off. So the halacha is that the mitzvah sase of mila overrides the mitzvah lo sase of teras. So over there, the same thing's happening, the Ran says. When he starts peeling off that part that has the teras on it, he hasn't done the mitzvah yet. The mitzvah mila is only when he's finished the whole thing. That's when he's mekayim the mitzvah. If he stops over there, he wouldn't have done the mitzvah. So same thing, and still we say that that beginning of the mitzvah overrides the isser of taking off tzeras. So same thing over here. The beginning of the mitzvah of going taking the cow out of the cemetery will override the prohibition of a kohen becoming tummy, if not for the fact that the prohibition of becoming tummy also has an asay with it. It's not just a los asay, it's also an asay. That's the way the Ran answers the question. And the way he puts it is, the way the Nemuka Yosef says it is, the huzal sovar, the Ran must hold, the guf ikar ha'asay maschem mishasri yoso, that you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda the moment you see the object, I think it means, and you start doing something about it. If you walk by, you didn't do anything. But the minute you are active in returning that object, the minute you decide to return that object and you start doing something, you're fulfilling the mitzvah asay. So that's what the Ran says, that to make the Gemara make sense, that it must be that the moment you start returning it, you're already fulfilling the asay. So the Gemara has to say, but a Kohen is not allowed to go into the cemetery, because even though he's fulfilling the asay as he's walking in, but he's violating an asay and a los asay. The Nemuka Yosef though brings other Rishonim who say that that's not like Mila. It has nothing to do with Mila, because by Mila, imagine, this is what I think the way he's saying it, imagine that instead of taking off the part that had the tzeras on it, the Moel took off everything except that part. So obviously he's saying he didn't do the mitzvah Mila, and that demonstrates that every single piece of Arla, every piece of foreskin that's removed is a direct fulfillment of the mitzvah Saseh. But supposed to be some way of returning the cow to the owner without having to walk inside the cemetery. You call it out, or it walks out on its own. But the mitzvah of returning the object is getting the cow back to the owner. The fact that you walk into the cemetery and take it, that's only a hechshir mitzvah. It's a preparation for the mitzvah. It's like the Rishonim say, like, you can't blow a shofar until you take the horn off the cow. So no one's going to say taking the horn off the cow is mitzvah saseh of blowing a shofar. It's something you need to do to blow the shofar. He says you put only two tzitzis on the four corners. So that's not a preparation of the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah itself, because if you miss if you don't have the other two, you stop right there, you won't have done the mitzvah. So that shows that all four are part of the mitzvah. But you have to differentiate between things that are mitzvah themselves, like the tzitzis, like the taking off the arla. There, every part is a mitzvah. To do part of it would be no mitzvah at all. So you have to distinguish between those cases and cases like Hashavas Aveda, where it's true that you need to get the cow out of the cemetery to return to the owner, but that's not a necessary part of the mitzvah. Just like it's true you have to take the shofar off the cow to be able to blow it, you have to take the lulav off the tree to shake it, but that's just a preparation for the mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah itself. So therefore these mefarshim say the Gemara was just saying it l'ravcha d'milso, but you don't really need to say that there's a mitzvah asay over here, because at the time that they go into the Beis HaGvaras to pick up the Aveda, at that time he's not doing a mitzvah at all. So the Gemara is just asking, why do you need a pasuk at all to say that the Kohen should not go into the Beis HaGvaros? There's no mitzvah at all. And the Gemara is saying, even if there was a mitzvah, it would just be an asay, it would not be a docha, a los asay ve'asay, to allow you to get to that point of fulfilling the mitzvah at the end. But up until that point, you've just been doing preliminaries for the mitzvah you haven't fulfilled. The Ran holds, no, every part, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is attempting to return an Aveda to an owner. I think it would be, suppose you don't find the owner ever. So according to the Ran, it could be you still did the mitzvah, because the moment, all these parts are part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, right? And I'm just thinking now also, like, why isn't the Gemara, why aren't they worried? Maybe, how can you go in? Maybe you won't find the owner. So it's only talking where you know who the owner is, but it must be that trying to, the mitzvah Shavas Aveda is, if you see someone's cow wandering, go try to return it to the owner the best you can. That's the mitzvah. That's the way the Rana understands it. So every point in time you're doing the mitzvah, still the Gemara says that mitzvah saseh won't override the lo saseh and saseh of the Kohen becoming tummy in a cemetery. The other Rifarshim that the Mukhi Yosef brings hold that that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah Shavas Aveda is returning it to the owner. Everything up until that point is preliminary. So therefore we have no Havamina to think that the Kohen should violate his tumah to walk inside the cemetery because he'll be fulfilling a mitzvah Shavas Aveda. The only reason is the second reason that the Gemara says is that the Isser can't override a mammon can't override the Isser. You don't have to come on to that, the fact that it's the Aseh won't override the Losas because they're not even doing an Aseh at that point. Okay, so that's the first part. Then we're dealing with the Kohen and the Beis HaGvara, so the Halacha is pretty simple. He's certainly not allowed to go in, because even if it is an Aseh, it's not going to be Docha the Losas Aseh Vaseh, and then we always have the second reason that we won't be Docha Yisrim Yishrim Mamona. Says, you know, you need a Shavas Aveda, but that's that even though you know for the lulav you need to take it off the tree, but the main mitzvah is returning it. The Gemara really didn't have to ask such a question, just asking, what do you need a pasuk for? It's pasuk. You don't need to say asuk do chalos saying, and you don't need anything. You're not even doing a mitzvah at all. Now, when it comes to muktzah on Shabbos, there's a Gemara on Lamed, Gemara on Daf Tes Amid Aleph. I just have the Mishnah over there. Lamed Beis Amid Aleph says the same halacha that we just had by Beis Akvaris. But the Gemara on Daf Tes Amid Aleph, there's a halacha there that Amar Rav Kana. The Gemara has a case over there that says that if someone was riding an animal in the city, he doesn't acquire it through that. Because normally what you do is you lead an animal. That's the normal way you make an act of acquisition. If you ride on it, that's not called an act of acquisition. He says, because people don't ride in the city. If you do something unusual, you can't make a kinyan that way. So Amalei Ravashi the Rav Kana, Ravashi is the Kasher Rav Kana, Elamiyata, but now, if someone picked up a wallet on Shabbos, people don't usually pick up wallets on Shabbos. So are you going to say that if he did an Isser and picked up this Muktzah object, he doesn't make a Kenyan? Of course not. What he did, even though he did an Isser, he makes that Kenyan. So same thing over here. By the animal, we should say that even though it's an unusual thing to ride an animal, what he did something unusual, and he makes the kinyan. So, but the Gemara says, just like on, along the way, that if a person picks up some wild on Shabbos, it's an unusual thing. So the Rosh says, why is it so unusual? If you find something on Shabbos, why can't you pick it up and keep it? Right? If it's something that doesn't have a siman, or one of the five rules where you're allowed to keep it, why can't you pick it up and keep it? So the Rosh says, Mikan Mukha, from here you see, Dimasa Arnaki Shabbos, if you find a wallet on Shabbos, to Arsalatap, you're not allowed to move it. Even though you worried someone else might find it first and you won't have it. Because if it would be mutter to pick it up, how is it similar to riding in a city? There no one rides an animal in a city, even if you find something. It's something that's not done at all. Because you could always lead it. But picking up a wallet is sometimes done. Like if you find something. So we see from here that the Isra Muksa overrides your wanting to pick up an object, and the Rosh says, and it's a Dara Pashit, that if you find a wallet on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pick it up for yourself. That's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim. That Matzah Arniki b'Shabbos, if you found an Arniki on Shabbos, also Litlo, you're not allowed to take it. Afish Shayari Penikamino Akimino Yerfei, someone else might take it. Now the Bir Halacha says, based on Hilchos Mukta, the Chavos Chaim L'Shitaso holds, the Mishaburu holds that if something's Mukta, you're allowed to kick it with your feet. You move it with your elbow. The Chazanish disagrees, but the Mishaburu holds that you're allowed to move Mukta with your feet. So based on that, the Bir Halacha says over here, even though you can't pick it up with your hands, but if you want to kick that wallet underneath a bush, and so you can find it after Shabbos, so that you're allowed to do. Because you can't pick it up with your hands.
You can't be kind of with your Dalai Lama.
You might be able to come with your Dalai Lama, but as soon as you walk away, someone else is going to take it from you. It's not going to help.
Just stand there for a while.
You can stand there until Shabbos is over, but you want to go to Mincha, you don't want to stand there. So the Eitz of the Mishaburu says is kick it. Now that's if you want to keep it for yourself. How about if you want to do the mitzvah of HaShavas Aveda? Right, that they're not talking about. Suppose you see that it belongs, it has a siman, it's in a Jewish neighborhood, it's something that you have to return. So do we say then that the mitzvah of HaShavas Aveda, which is the mitzvah I say, should override the Isser Muksa, which is only in Isser Rabbanan? Right here there's no Los Asinase anymore. Here there is Isser Rabbanan and Muksa. So can your chiyuv of HaShavas Aveda, mitzvah to say to return something, override the din of Muksa? So the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuva says, he brings it right from the Rashba that it's Asir. And then he says the Gemara based on our second reason of our Gemara, Ech nidche isurim ekayim emamana. Can I mean it become a Vesak Varas? It's true we don't have the first reason of the Asay, that it's an Alos Asay and Asay, right, by Shabbos, because here it's only Isser Muksa. But the second reason of the Gemara, that Isser cannot be pushed aside by Mammon, that applies over here, because he's taking a monetary loss, that applies even by an Isser Rabbanan of Muksa. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says another source, he says, you can't even violate an Isser Rabbanan, you want to do him a favor, but he has to keep Shabbos also, so you can't do something that he's not allowed to do that would violate the Shabbos. Now you might say, well, I have a mitzvah to say here, so maybe that should make me, right, if it's something that I'm going to keep, so then we said, okay, I have the option to stay here if I want, and if I don't want to, I'll just go home. But suppose, why do we have, and this is what I want to talk about, do I have an obligation to stand here though and guard it? Because if I don't stand here, someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs or someone who doesn't keep Shabbos might walk by and take it. So do I have a mitzvah to stand here and guard it until after Shabbos and then take it? So Tischei Choshen and the Mishpat Aveda, they both say as a Dara Pashat that the Mishpat Shabbos Aveda doesn't require you to stand by an object and guard it. I think this far is because we're saying HaShavas Aveda is to take steps to return it to its owner, and we saw that according to those Sharim Parshim, they say the mitzvah is only the actual return of it, the others is just a Hechsher mitzvah. But that Hechsher mitzvah is to take steps to try to get this back to the owner, just to keep something at a status quo, right, to prevent others from taking it. That's not part of the mitzvah HaShavas Aveda. Right, that's I think what you have to say, because otherwise maybe that's also part of returning it to make sure no one else takes it, so you know you should have to stay in there 7 hours until Shabbos is over to make sure no one takes it. So they say not that way, and I think that's the svara, because you're not getting it closer to the owner, you're keeping status quo. That's not the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. Shabbos Aveda is don't leave it there, rather return it to the owner, do something to return it to the owner, and just standing there is not going to be called returning it. Now if
so
there's,
you're making a shmira, I mean no damage is going
to
come.
Right, so that you're not afraid to do it, so Shabbos Aveda. Now he says, if there's a guy around, so then, that you trust, so then it could be that you're afraid to do that. Right? To, you know, go home and tell a guy that I saw something over here, can you please hold it for me and bring it after Shabbos? Now, the Mishmar Aveda says, last week we said by, okay, something, you find something that's not dignified for you to take. So there we didn't say there was any obligation to, well, find someone who's not so dignified and let him take that muddy old coat home. So what's the difference? So he says a nice svara. He says that because there, you're not chai to return an object. Right? If you are too dignified to return such an object, so that means this alamta, you don't have a mitzvah at all. So there's no chiyah for you to try to find someone else to return it for you. But over here, you are chayiv in Hashavas Aveidah when you see that mukta item on Shabbos. When you find that wallet on Shabbos, you have an obligation to return it. You're not allowed to because Shabbos overrides your ability to do that. But then the chiyuv is still there, so if you have some other way of doing it, and maybe like kicking it, you would kick it to save it for yourself, and to kick it to save it for him, that also would be something that would be worthwhile to do if there's any way of of saving it. He brings a raya that there's no chiyuv to wait there until after Shabbos, because the Gemara didn't say. The Gemara just said that a kohen is patur from returning an aveda in a beis hakvar. So why didn't the Gemara say he has to wait there until someone, a Yisrael or a Levi, walks by? So we see that there's no such chiyuv. The chiyuv of a Shabbos aveda is to do what you can to return it, and if you can't do that, so then you're patur, and this is overriding you, so then you don't have to do it unless there's some way of arranging it. That's the way he puts it. The next step is that, you know, in Hilchos Muktzah, some things are muktzah. They're really muktzah, like things that you wouldn't need, like a shechita knife, mila knife, things that are only used for specific purposes that are also to do on Shabbos. So they are muktzah, and they can't be removed for any purpose, except we saw the Mishnah Berurah holds you allowed to kick it. But there are other things which are probably more prevalent, called keli shel machta le'iser. If you have an object that's used for an iser, like a hammer. Right, a hammer, we're not allowed to handle on Shabbos because a hammer is used to bang nails, and banging nails is generally involves an iser, so we're not allowed to use it. But there's a leniency in such a muktzah, and that is, if you need the hammer for its own purpose, like you want to crack a coconut or some nails, so then you can take this hammer, because it's not fully muktzah like the shechita knife. You can take a hammer and you can crack open the nuts with it. Right? That's halacha of a keli shel machta le'iser. So these contemporary svarim bring Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach a shaila whether if you find a hammer that has a siman on it, can you pick up the hammer? Because the way he puts it, there's no difference between taking the hammer for the purpose of making you feel good by opening up your nuts, and then picking up the hammer to make you feel good by doing a mitzvah Hashavas Aveidah. And if that's the case, you'd be obligated to do it, because now you don't have any, you're not overriding any chil, you're not doing any chil Shabbos, because just like you're allowed to pick up the hammer to open up the nuts, you could pick up the hammer to be mekayim a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveidah. So it's interesting, it depends what Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa goes on it, this Mishmar HaVeda, this Shmir HaShavaz HaVeda Kalacha, they all quote him in different ways. One quotes him that he was, it was nota to make it usher to take it up for Mitzvah HaShava. Another Sefer said that he holds that you should, that you're chayiv to do the kind of mitzvah. To me, I don't understand it so well. I see a big difference between using a hammer to crack open nuts and using a hammer to make yourself feel good that you're becoming a mitzvah, because if you use that, you feel good that you're doing a mitzvah. You also feel good when you pick up a hammer to protect you from getting stolen, right? And you're not allowed to take it in the house to prevent it from getting stolen. You can only take it for a real use. And what I'm getting is that we have a rule that mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. There's a rule that we don't, if I made an editor that I don't want you to have any benefit from me, you're allowed to hear me blow shofar for you, because a mitzvah isn't called a real pleasure. So the same thing I wouldn't argue with Shlomo Zalman. It's just that there's three different versions of what he said. So I hear Asvara to say that the fact that I could perform a mitzvah with the hammer isn't called tzarah gufa. Tzarah gufa that the Chachamim allow you to do is to take a hammer for Shabbos use, for whatever use you need for Shabbos now, to crack open those nuts. So that's a use that I can use the hammer for. But because I'm going to fulfill a mitzvah by picking it up, and I'm not using it today at all, I'm picking it up now, I'll announce it maybe, but I'm not going to return it today, and more than that, if the owner found his hammer over there, he wouldn't be allowed to pick it up. But you find it, you're allowed to. And so what happens if two people lost their hammers? Right, two people lost their hammers, left their hammers out in the outside, and it's beginning to rain. So according to this, you can't go out and take your own, but you Reuven could go out and take Shimon's hammer, and Shimon could go out and take Reuven's hammer, because they're each doing a mitzvah Shavas Aveda, and they're returning it. To me, they would feel such a tzara Shabbos to protect their own hammer. And we still say you're not allowed to do it unless it's something that's really a use of the hammer itself. But anyway, it's something to think about and that the post can talk about. This same reasoning would apply if you're in a city that has no Eruv, and even if it's not Muktzah, so then you have that same problem that you can't take it, you can't move it. So there are also certainly the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda won't override, even if it's an Isidra Abanan, of carrying in a Carmelis, which is an Isidra Abanan. Post can have an interesting shayla. Suppose there is an Eruv, but you don't use the Eruv.
The question is, did you make a net or not?
Okay, well, I shouldn't talk about this here. But but suppose someone in another city, there's an Eruv, and someone says they want to be machmer, they don't want to use the Eruv. And then they find an Aveda. So the shayla is, are you allowed to be machmer at his expense? Or at the expense of not doing the mitzvah saseh, of Hashavas Aveda? So, I have down here from the Hashavas Aveda Pelel Malacha, he says that what would happen if it was your object there, if it was your wallet? You know, you're generally machpin not to use the Eruv except for tzarech, big tzarech. So if it was yours out there, well, it's not a wallet, so that's mostly, but it's your
child.
Well, it's your book, right? Your sefer is out there. It's something that you would say, oh, this is a tzarech, I'm going to the medicine doctor, like something that you would take for something valuable you would bring in that's not muksa, because even though I don't usually use the Eruv, but here it's, you know, a big tzarech, I'm afraid it'll get stolen, I'll be meikul. So certainly then you should do it for someone else's. You shouldn't say, you know, for mine I would, you know, I would do it for the others not. So that's an interesting shaila. It works the other way also, by the original case of a Kohen walking into a cemetery, right? So the Gemara said, the Pasha, the Kohen, shouldn't walk into a cemetery to do Hashavas Aveda. But you know that there is a discussion among the Poskim whether a Kohen is allowed to walk into a place of Kivrei Tzadikim, right? Can a Kohen go into the Maariv HaMachpelah? Can he go into Kivrei Tzadikim and they break for Ratosus? That seems to say that the Tzadikim aren't Netame. Right, so most mainstream Poskim say that a Kohen cannot even go into Kivrei Tzadikim to become Tame, because then, you know, he can become Tame. Everyone agrees he can't become Tame. They're just saying maybe a Tzadik doesn't give off Tuma. So what happens though if you're one of the Kohenim that are meikel to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? Right, I have a tshuva here from the Tava Kedisha. He has a long tshuva to bring Poskim that is Yimutter to go in, and there are Kohenim that are meikel, and he sees an Aveda there. So should he go in to return that Aveda for someone, for a Kohen who wouldn't go in? Right, so that's a shayla they bring up. The Mishmar Aveda, and it says it's something that needs Iyun. Like, I don't see what it should make a difference what the other person holds. You know, the other person might be a Yisrael. How do you know what the other person is? I mean, it would seem that if he holds that there's no Isser in going in, so then why shouldn't he go in to return it? So summing up, we've now discovered this second case where if you find something, you don't have to return it. Once again, you're not allowed to keep it. We're not talking like the first five cases that we spoke about. These are cases where you find something, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Here you're not really exempt, like we said, the lumdus is, you really chayiv, but just you can't because of some overriding isser. And that is, like the Kohen who finds something in a cemetery, the Gemara says you don't even need a pasuk. It's pashit that he can't walk in, either because it's an asay, even if you call it an asay, it won't be dolcha, los asay va asay, Right, we had the machlokes of shonim, what the asay might be at that point. And even in a case where there's no real asay and los asay, like we said by Muxon Shabbos, by Nisid Rabbanan, we still have the way that some sofer puts it, we have the Gemara's second reason of that you can't be docha and iser when it comes to just a monetary consideration. So it will come out that finding something muktzah on Shabbos, you're walking down the street, here we have an Eruv, so let's talk about muktzah. If you find something muktzah on Shabbos, so if it's a typical type of muktzah, a real muktzah, a shechita knife, maybe a computer is called, a laptop might be a real muktzah because you wouldn't use it for anything else, it's your machna not to use it, it's a valuable thing. So if it's a real muktzah, so certainly you can't override the Isser Shabbos to pick it up. If it's something without it, you certainly can't do anything with it to take it for yourself. Even if it belongs to someone else, you're not allowed to pick it up. What you can do is you can move it with your feet. You could kick it home. You know, kick it all the way home if you won't break it. You have to keep it in good condition. But you can kick it home. You can kick it to some place where it's where it'll be there for you to get after Shabbos. And you'll be in the kind of mitzvah. You're not mechuyev to stand there, and I think included in that is you're not mechuyev to kick it under the bushes and then walk back five blocks after Shabbos and go get it either. Right? At that point, I don't think you're mechuyev in Hashabbos Aveda to go out because you hear there might be an Aveda, seven blocks away, five blocks away to go get it. It might not be gone already. So, but certainly you don't have to stand there until after Shabbos. We discussed that if it's a klishal machdil isser, there might be a reason to say that you could bring it in with your hands because that's called a tzorech. Rosh Hashanah Zalman talked about the idea of, we said we didn't understand it so well, and if it's a place where there's no Eruv, the same considerations apply. If it's a place where it is an Eruv but you are machmir not to use the Eruv, so then we had this eitzah to think about what you would do if it was your own object. If you would say, well, this is a Shas of Chak, I'm going to be Samach on the Eruv, so then you should certainly do a Mitzvah Saseh of Hashavas Aveda. And if it's something that, even if it was yours, you wouldn't take in, so then you probably have the right to say that I don't use Eruv for even such a use. But it's not so simple, because for your own, you're able to be Mavatra on your money, but for someone else's, maybe you should say the Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda will be enough of a Torah for you to overcome your inhibitions about using the Eruv, so that would be also something to think about.